Welcome to Life and LaVision. I'm your host, Brett Humphrey. Today we're here in Missoula, Montana to talk with Jane's family. Joining us around the table today are
Jane's mother, Barb,
and
Jane's neighbor, Heidi,
along with
Jane's dad, Peter.
And I am Jane.
In this episode, we'll hear about
all the details of the engagement.
Sure, why not?
Oh.
And this?
I honestly have never seen temper tantrums like I've seen Jane.
Maybe a little bit of this.
So mom panic is, you always have it.
So let's dive in, then get going.
All right, welcome. We are in Missoula, Montana. What's the house number here?
445.
445, okay. 445. All right, good. We're at studio 445. How that works. I was in studio A5 in New York and 2601 in Seattle. So there we go. So welcome. And now this is like major section 5 for these recordings. And we're just here chatting with Jane's family and neighbor. So that's all I got. Who's next?
Well,
we can start a little background. How about that?
Yeah.
Perfect.
So tell us about growing up with Jane.
Jane kind of grew up with us.
That's a fair point. Let me rephrase that. Tell us about Jane growing up with you.
Jane growing up with us, we found out we were pregnant with her the month we moved here. So she's a Montana gal, and Janie's always been a very sweet child.
And what happened?
I don't know. I honestly have never seen temper tantrums like I've seen Jane. Nobody can do it like Jane.
You're welcome.
Are you sure you want me to be here?
Yes.
That's right.
Keep us honest.
In high school, Jane, when she graduated, was voted most likely to get away with it. And there is some truth to that.
It was actually gets away with everything.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah.
And that's probably more true than we even know, as she got away with everything. Jane looked like you would draw a little girl having a temper tantrum. She would stick her lip really far out, her bottom lip, and stomp her foot as high as she could. And that was how Jane threw temper tantrums, unless she was on the ground having a temper tantrum. But yeah, they were pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we knew what she wanted and didn't want.
I can't wait to talk to Ben about this. So Ben, is it still true as an adult for her?
Yeah. I don't think she has them anymore. Do you?
No.
Oh, hopefully temper tantrums.
Yeah.
Not Ben. So just for clarification.
Those wedding plans are going to come crashing down, baby.
Yeah.
Before they've even started.
That's also true. Well, let's talk about that for 2 seconds, because when we last spoke, y'all were dating and now they're engaged. So I'll just give it away.
That's true. Yep. Over the summer, big shift. I am now his ex-girlfriend, current fiance.
Yes. Is awesome.
Yeah.
And they were up in Alaska for another wedding, and you were on the Kenai Peninsula.
Yes.
Yes, let's hear the whole details.
All the details of the engagement?
Sure, why not?
Oh, all right. Well, the night before the engagement happened, we were at a wedding, and so we had talked about potentially getting married, but felt like Ben maybe needed a little help figuring out the details of how to do an engagement. So I asked him at the wedding if he needed to know what style of ring I liked. And he said, oh, sure. Yeah. What style do you like? So I told him I like a very classic traditional ring. And he said, okay, that's good to know. So the next day when we pulled over in our camper van, I was not expecting him to already have one. So we were walking around a little lake after we had taken a roadside nap because we were exhausted from the wedding the night before. And he turned around and was fishing for something in his pocket, but from behind it looked like he was trying to go to the bathroom on a bush. So I asked him, are you peeing right now? And he very angrily said, no, I am not peeing. And so I thought, well, that was a very defensive reaction. I guess I'll just go walk towards the lake. And then I turned around and he was on one knee, and I told him it's not very funny because I thought he was joking. And he turns out he wasn't. And he had a little, now I know it was a beautiful wooden box that he had made by hand, but from standing up above him and him being very far below me, I couldn't see what was in his hand, and it appeared to be a chunk of wood. Hence also why I thought it was a joke.
Not that classic of a style, right?
Yeah, yeah. And then once he opened it up, I, you know, realized it wasn't a joke and I needed to actually, you know, get into the state of mind that this is real, this is actually happening. And then I don't remember what he said. He doesn't remember what he said, but I did say yes.
Awesome.
So, yes. It was very sweet.
Yes.
Yes. Very big surprise.
Woohoo. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now we have to find a wedding venue.
Exactly.
Anywhere between Seattle and Missoula seems to be fine.
Okay.
Yes.
4 points north or south.
The gorge then?
The gorge.
The gorge
it.
Could work. Yeah. Oh. Well, all possibilities are on the table at this point, so we'll keep you all posted.
Yeah.
And
some
any
point
suggestions?
We'll come back to that. Well, by then, hopefully, maybe, who knows? just from the parent, from your perspective, just Jane growing up with you and how she was, and then as you found out about, you know, kind of what's going on with her eyesight and all of that, like how is that for all of you kind of coming through some of that?
Well, I will never forget the day, huh, Jay? Of course not. Janie came home a couple of times that summer and said, I tripped over this bike. I didn't even see it in the dark. I was with my friends. I don't even know how I didn't see it. I tripped over this bike. Ha ha. And then there were a couple of other instances. And I didn't think anything of it, but I also had never heard of retinitis pigmentosa before. And so we went and got glasses, and they didn't do anything for her. And this is this is quintessential Jane. It pissed her off. Like, I can't believe it. We spent all that time in there and these glasses aren't even the right lenses and I'm going back in there and da 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 da, which is just what we did. And the woman, I would say, that started us down the road of diagnosis could have gone to bedside manner school because she started panicking and literally said to us as we're sitting in the office expecting just to have lens changes, oh my God, this could be a brain tumor. It could be so many different things. We were like, what?
thanks.
So she sent us over to the next clinic, which is in town. But there literally isn't the diagnostic tools in Montana for retinitis pigmentosa. Electroretinogram.
Yes.
Is that right?
Yeah.
I'm probably making that up. But anyway,
electroretinogram.
Something like that. Mm-hmm. And so they looked into Jane's eyes. They did all kinds of things. And she was 17. And it's been hours. And then, I mean, they fortunately got us right in. And then they said, this doctor who really didn't have bedside manner, I don't know if they forget to send eye doctors to that part of the schooling. But anyway, he said, that he thought we should probably make an appointment at either KCI Institute or some other place to be tested for RP, which we didn't know what he was talking about. And so I came home and waited till Jane was gone from my presence and shut the door on the office and looked it up on the internet and, of course, went into the mom panic at that point, right? All before a diagnosis. But that's kind of how I remember that day, Jane.
Yeah.
Does that sound the same as your memories kind of?
Yeah, definitely. We scheduled MRIs too for a few days later. Yeah. But those were clear, so that was good.
Yeah.
Then that's when we booked the tickets to Jewel Stein.
Yes.
You say full on mom panic. Can you elaborate slightly on it? You don't have to, but I'm just curious.
Well, you know, you really never have any control over the safety of your child except for the efforts that you make or the well-being of your child. But it's always your intention to do the best by your children, right? And it's also they just turn it into the fabric of your heart. And so when something seems like it's going wrong and you don't even know what it is, also, it's... Well, this is what I knew, but intuitively what I knew was that I
I couldn't panic or cry or act scared in front of Jane. So whatever it was, I needed to be mom in front of her, and any of my emotions needed to be somewhere else. And that stayed with us for quite a long time, didn't it, Jay?
Yeah, definitely.
Can I add something?
Of course.
For mom panic. So mom panic is, you always have it. It's when you don't hear from one of your children and you don't hear from them for hours and you try to call and you try to call and they aren't texting you back. They're not calling you. And with your boys, high school boys, you know that they've driven off a road, skateboarded down a mountain and crashed, or they're in an embankment, or they've drank too much and they're drowning in their puke. You know that. Your girls have been kidnapped and raped. You know that. And so when things really do happen, you know, that's when you go into the mode of, okay, it's really happening. I have to get my shit together and be strong. But but you're always in that mode daily. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah. You're just outside that little circle of whatever. You know, all's going well until, as you said.
Right.
They're
drowning, then they're puke.
Yeah.
Got it.
Who's going to hear this?
Everybody.
Yeah.
There's editorial
review. All the mothers out there.
Yeah. Well, and I do ask that, though, because as you were, like, from then to today, has that changed for you? Or do you still have the mom panic?
It's totally changed. Well, it's not totally changed. Has it totally changed? I don't want to lie or exaggerate. It's changed. And how it's changed is what you think might be the end of the world is not the end of the world at all. And so Jane is still Jane. She's still bossy. She's still
kind and kind beautiful. And beautiful.
Thanks, Heidi.
And fun. And has, you know, passion for all of the things that you'd hope your child would have passion for. So she's just Jane. But I didn't know that then, right? And I also didn't know, like, I don't think everyone in the world handles some form of difference in their ability at the age of 17 the way that Jane was able to do it. Like, I could hardly handle, you know, figuring out what pair of socks to wear when I was 17 or something shallow like that. And there was just a bolt of lightning, and it was like Jane knew she was Jane. Yeah. It doesn't mean it hasn't been hard or it hasn't been, you know, it doesn't mean that when she told me 2 days ago that she was taking the bus from Issaquah to some unknown dark place to call an Uber to get to the airport, that I didn't like start in on her, but I would have started in on her sister as well, who does have vision in the dark. So
true.
Yeah.
I think at first you don't know how things are going to pan out and how to process. But I think when you take a step back and see what the process looks like, it's a lot easier to take in and feel more comfortable with.
Do you know things that occurred to where you became more comfortable? Or what your mind shift was? I kind of ask it because I spend time going out and talking with parents and like students that are low and no vision. And it's just interesting to talk to some parents because they're at different places during different times. Mm-hmm. And I know even my mom would ebb and flow a bit. Like it was maybe 8-10 years ago, I was just like working on something, a little like piece of wood chip fell in my eye. And she's like freaking out. Oh my gosh. I'm like, it's just still something in my eye, mom. It's fine. But she immediately went back to that mom panic mode. And then after, you know, she calmed down a bit, but still the next day she's like, sure, okay. I'm like, it's fine. It's just a chunk of wood. It's good. Don't worry about it. But that seems to ebb and flow. But I just think there are a lot of parents in different states. So I just that are going through that same thing. And so I'm just curious what, you know, if you notice turning points or if there are things that helped you along the way.
Well, what I remember about that year is when this was going on with Jane, her lifelong best friend next door, who is, you know, the neighborhood family friends, mother was diagnosed with ALS. And Katie and Jane in high school had separated and had different friends, but they were always joined at the heart. They were always, you know, they would always say they're best friends, I would say. Mm-hmm. And so we knew Patty was going to die. And so Jane, I think, and I'm just assuming Jane, was looking at that her, you know, best friend and Patty, who had ALS, was adored Jane. You know, she was her second mother. And I feel like during that time, Jane was making herself rise because she saw that her friend was losing her mother. And it in ALS, you are losing. You're slowly losing, kind of like your sight. She was losing her life, and you know, it was an amazing thing to watch, because just the depth of these, the whole neighborhood, but the depth of these girls and how they grew through this time, it was enlightening. I also would say that Jane's burden of losing her sight has been a gift to the world and gift to everybody that she knows, because she's always been so kind, but she gets things and she understands things to a deeper, you know, a depth that other children her age or young adults her age don't have yet. And I know that my children and everybody that's close to her has, they're getting, you know, they understand things so fully because of what Jane and what Kate have gone through.
Yeah, it definitely was an interesting parallel to, I think even it was the same summer. So Patty, our neighbor that was diagnosed with ALS, was diagnosed a few months before I got my diagnosis. So when you get a diagnosis right, literally the house next door, you know, with ALS, and then you get a diagnosis of RP, both, you know, it is... to feel very fortunate to be getting the diagnosis of RP, it helped build strength, I think, not only within myself but our whole neighborhood, really. Yeah,
so it sounds like the whole in this case the whole neighborhood was kind of in and around for everybody.
Yeah, and a little background on our neighborhood, we had 14 kids on the block growing up, just the, you know, the
That's
little city
block,
yeah. Yeah, dispersed between 5 different houses. Yeah. One family of 3 kids moved away a little earlier than everyone else. We're all still here. But yeah, to have the community that we had in such close quarters was really incredible and very unique. It was a incredible childhood to have, you know, your immediate parents in your immediate house, but to either side of you, you have another set of parents and another set of siblings. Was very cool to have that childhood. But, and then to have the pieces too that, you know, as time goes by, people leave, and people, you know, whether it's moving or Patty. But yeah, it's been a very empowering, interesting process.
Thank you for joining us today. A special thank you to my friend for the music. You can find a link to it below in the show notes. And we'll see you in the next episode.
Audio engineering is done by Brett Humphrey. Audio production is done by Cody Kilpatrick. This episode is copyright 2018. All rights reserved.